Are you ready for a change? Be it physical, mental, or emotional change, you've already got what it takes to make that happen. Your host for the upcoming program, the Matt Newton Power Hour, has trained in martial arts over the course of several decades. Time and time again, his training methods have saved or extended the careers of dozens of NFL, NBA, and Major League Baseball stars. Matt Newton has authored two highly acclaimed books, A Path to Power and The D Factor. The Matt Newton Power Hour starts now. Here's Matt.
Dancing around her for the last 2 weeks. You know, little Sarah Vaughan imitating her. And of course, last week, you know, we had Patty Austin singing her. It stands to reason. We have to have her on the air today. My musical guest host, Ella Fitzgerald. Turn it up, Zach, guys. Oh my goodness. Now for those of you who don't know and have to be clued in, the fabulous Natasha is a singer. And in her native country of Russia, she was a very famous Russian folk singer. Okay? And she toured the world singing, and that's how she got to America. Well, anyway, she has been listening to American jazz lately. And you know what she said? As we were about to go on the air today, I said, listening to some of the songs we were going to cue up, I said to Zach, she's just scatting. She hasn't said a word yet. And the fabulous Natasha says, Ella Fitzgerald doesn't have to say any words. Oh! With that, the fabulous Natasha is with us today.
Hello, everyone.
That sounds good, doesn't it, girl?
Oh, it sounds fabulous.
That's Ella Fitzgerald, the one and only. Hey, gang, I'm Mac Newton. This is the Power Hour. Wow. September 8th, Wednesday. A beautiful day. What did she say? You're listening to one of the best in the world at scat. I tell you. Wow. You gotta like that. This is from a CD entitled Ella Sings the Blues. But see, Ella didn't just sing the blues. Ella sang happy blues. She didn't believe that. I mean, this is... I mean, just to put it in a nutshell, she's going to leave you happy. She's never going to leave you sad. That's it. I mean, when you think of it, Ella Fitzgerald singing the blues, it sounds like, what does it kind of sound like? Well, don't worry about it. Get it out of your mind. You know, Ella Fitzgerald, you know, during her time, there were some great blues singers. Billie Holiday, Abby Lincoln, Dinah Washington, I told. And by, she's one of your favorites, isn't she, Natasha?
She is.
You love her, right? What do you like? What do you like about Dinah Washington?
I like her voice a lot, that she can show off and go very smooth and very quietly. She does it very unusual way.
I think when I listen to Natasha sing, you see, she has a big voice. I mean, it just soars and soars and soars and soars and soars. And Dinah Washington had that same kind of a voice. So I think that Natasha sees a little of herself in that. Well, Dinah Washington, because Natasha was one day we were talking and she says, I don't know, I think I like the jazz better than the blues. And I said, well, you know what? As George Benson always told me, if I was going to play decent jazz guitar, I would have to learn how to play the blues. Every great jazz singer was originally a blues singer.
No.
Well, I had to prove it to her, and I did. Dinah Washington, one of the great jazz blues singers of all time. I mean, Dinah Washington sang with Howlin' Wolf, you know, John Lee Hooker. Dinah Washington, one of the greatest of all time. And guess what? So did Ella Fitzgerald. Ella Fitzgerald sang one of the great blues singers from the South, Big Maybelle, Ella Fitzgerald. But she just didn't sing the blues. I mean, not the way we expect the blues to be sung. I mean, her voice is pure. I mean, her range is unlimited. I mean, she's just regal. She's like just the queen, and her diction is perfect. I mean, anyway, we're listening. My musical guest host, we are privileged to have with us, privileged to have with us the great Ella Fitzgerald. Hey, Zach, guys, give us a little bit more before we get into the show. Go ahead. Ella Fitzgerald, gang.
Go ahead.
We could go on and on with this because on this album, we're looking at the great Count Basie with Ray Brown on bass, but the Count Basie Orchestra, you know, featuring such greats as Mercer Ellington and, you know, Tommy Flanagan, Stan Getz, all members of the band, the great Freddie Green on guitar. Zach and I were talking about that, both of us being guitar players. Freddie Green being the great to step out of the shadows of the big band and highlight the guitar. Because back in that day, you know, the guitar was strictly a member of the rhythm section. We're talking vroom, 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 vroom for an hour. You had forearms like Popeye. But Freddie Green changed all that even before that, the amplification of guitars. Carl Terry, you know, on trumpet and flugelhorn, all in this band behind Ella Fitzgerald. Well, we're going to hear more of that, and I hope you will rush out and try to pick it up. Sorry to say you won't find this one. It's out of print, but there's plenty out there to be had on Ella Fitzgerald. Just in case you need to know, Ella Fitzgerald was born in Newport News, Virginia, on April 25th, 1918. And really, she hasn't been gone that long. She died on June 15th, in Beverly Hills in 1996. I remember the day well because literally they had to close all the freeways for hours. Her funeral procession went on for miles, and because she was so revered by so many. And it was just her bearing, her regal bearing, the way she carried herself, and of course her unbelievable talent. Ella Fitzgerald, that we can honor today as our musical guest host on the Power Hour. We got a great show today. Very informative, I believe. I've already introduced in behind the glass, of course, making the show happen, Zach Geis over there, give it up. And, of course, the fabulous Natasha in her normal co-host seat over here. My lineup today, my early rant, is going to be about people on cell phones while I'm driving. My main topic is, do you have a guilty personality? And in my short segment, finishing up our first half of the show, I'm going to talk about critics, okay? But first, as we always do, shout outs. Let's take care of that. Let's start out with our singing group from Denmark, Pam and Pele. Well, of course, we got to have something there. Al in Southern California, you know. I mean, in South Florida, South FLA, South FLA. And Veronica G in the Philippines. She sent me the cutest email. She had listened to the show. And she just said, it was so great hearing my name on the Power Hour. That's got to be a great thing. Well, Veronica G, it's great having you as a listener and as a fan of the show. Hula Girl, Pedro, and the Bevzilla right here in the Valley. Rosie Brown, wherever you might be this week. And, of course, I call him Ernest, but everybody else calls him Junior Spivey. Yep, more and more being added every single week. Okay. All right, let's get it started with my early rant. You know, it's not like I don't have enough to think about when I'm driving my car. I've got plenty to think about when I'm driving my car. You know what I got to think about? I got to think about people taking right-hand turns in the left-hand lane. I've got to think about people who are in the valley from Iowa, if you know what I mean. We've got people trying to get used to our suicide lanes for changing. We've got to get used to, if it ever rains down here, the streets get amazingly slick with all the oil on it. You know, we got a lot of things to deal with when it comes to just driving in general. I mean, let's face it, but now we've got one more thing to deal with. People talking on handheld cell phones driving a car. Talk about distracted driving. To me, that's the same as driving drunk. It's amazing. When are we going to get it? Because now when I'm driving and I notice someone, they're driving toward the center of the road, and I know they're leaning a little to the left, they're on a cell phone. Now I know that they're distracted. I got one more thing to think about. One more thing that I know that their reactions are slowed. One more thing that I know that they're not going to see something happen in case there's an emergency come up. One more thing to make driving more dangerous. Don't I need that? No, I don't, and neither do you. It's so simple. We have solved this problem time and time again. There are so many ways for you guys to drive without handheld phones out there. There are earpieces you can put in, and the Bluetooth devices today, when they first came out, well, maybe they didn't work that well, but now they do. They're built in handheld system in automobiles. I mean, things that are made by Microsoft that are being offered as standard equipment. And it doesn't even cost that much. Spring for it when you buy a new car. Get a handheld system inside of your car. It's worth it. It could save your life or someone else's. Because when you're talking on a handheld car, on a handheld phone in your car, that means you're blind to whatever side you're holding the phone up to your ear on. And that's just like driving drunk. One of the scariest things for me, if I'm riding my bike down the street, and one of the reasons I stopped riding on the street in the first place, Zach, is coming up to a corner and I see a 15-year-old girl on a cell phone getting ready to take a left turn. That's scarier than all get out. That is the scariest thing in the world. You know, I'd rather come to a complete stop and just go ahead, go. Because on that cell phone, she doesn't really see me. She doesn't see me at all. Come up, face it. When you're talking on a handheld cell phone, you are distracted beyond belief. You got to give that up. It's about time. I've written several letters to this legislature here in Phoenix, and action is being taken, and soon that's going to be a law against it. Well, you know what? We really shouldn't even need a law to pass that. That's just common sense. Come on, if you think about it for a minute, I mean, there are certain things all we have to do is look at and see a disaster on the horizon for you. And if you're driving around talking on a handheld cell phone, I mean, come on, you're an idiot. I hate to tell you that, but that's completely idiotic. That makes no sense whatsoever. Stop that, put the phone down, or hook up a hands-free device. We've got that thing handled. Don't tell me you know, because if you did know, we wouldn't be having this conversation right now. You need to put those things down en masse. It's going to save someone's life. According to the insurance industry right now, one out of every 10 accidents is caused by distracted driving. That's too much. We're improving the cars, putting better brakes on them, better tires on the road. And what are we doing? We're having more accidents than ever before. Why? Because we're on cell phones. And even worse, let's take it a step further. People are actually texting on a cell phone. Oh, my goodness. Going down the road trying to communicate to someone with a typewriter. not only a typewriter, but one the size of the palm of my hand, with keys the size of what, a pencil head, and you're trying to write on that thing while, oh my goodness, how stupid is that? Come on, gang, get over it. Whatever conversation you're having will be quickly forgotten if you have an accident and you look down at the body of a dead 12 or 15 year old that you just ran over in your car because you didn't see him because you had a cell phone up to your ear. You tell me, whatever conversation you were having will be quickly forgotten. I had to watch that very scenario in my studio as I sat on a chair facing my class about 4 years ago. I had to watch a lady turn into my parking lot as I looked through the front door and watch her run over an 8-year-old. And as I ran out there, all she could say was, he came out of nowhere. No, he didn't. He came down the sidewalk and you didn't see him because you were on a cell phone. I was furious. It was unbelievable. Now, okay, that's my early rant for today. Let it sink home. Get rid of those handheld cell phones. If you need to make a conversation, pull over, dial your number, and make your call. When you finish, hang up, turn the phone off. Turn it off. If you don't have hands free, your phone in your car should not even be on. Because if it rings in your car, you're going to be trying to answer it. Do you know where it is? It's in your purse. It's on the floor. It's on the console. You got to flip it over. You got to push a button. Put the phone down. And if you don't have hands free, that phone should not even be on. You know, that's the new today. That's the new etiquette of today. And if you are in a restaurant, by the way, rant number two, and you're talking on the phone, one word for you, don't. It's rude, you talk too loud, and no one wants to hear it. Take it some other place, okay? Anyway, cell phone etiquette, and it's more than just etiquette for some of us, it's life or death. All right, it is now exactly 15 minutes past the hour on a beautiful September 8th. They said today that we might have some thunder showers out there. What does it look like, Zach?
It's a little bit humid, but I mean, I could go either way. I thought that we were kind of past all that, but I'll take it.
You know, well, I don't know if it's going to come today. What do you think, Natasha?
I think it will rain.
You think so?
It feels like it, yes.
I mean, you just
because I washed my car. It always rains if I wash my car.
Well, you know what? That's good news for you, because when it rains, it should always rain on a clean car. You know, rain on a dirty car damages your surface and takes the shine away. Really, you think about it. You got all that dirt on your car. People say, oh, I'm not going to wash it because my car's dirty. You don't want it raining on a dirty car. It takes the shine off your car. You look at my cars, they look smooth and brand new, man. It's because I never let it rain on a dirty car.
Always looking clean.
You know that.
I got better plan. I think it's going to be in the garage by the time.
You think so? By the time the rain gets here?
Yes.
Well, I didn't want to interrupt you during the rant, but I actually did see on the news just last night, it said someone driving with using their phone, actually their reaction time is exactly the same as someone that has like 0.08 alcohol limit.
In other words, they're impaired.
Yeah.
They're impaired. Right, they would be like legally intoxicated.
Exactly.
Well, thank you for that, because that's the way I feel about it. And that's just one more thing I have to deal with when I'm driving. So put the phones down. And you can stop being idiotic, and you'll get out of that that class of people that I call idiots talking on handheld cell phones. Okay, so it looks like, so the sun peeks out. That's the great thing about living here in the valley. Even when they produce thunderstorms all day, we haven't had any yet, and my goodness, they may not come. So we got partly sunny, and it's about 100 degrees out. What does it feel like? 100 degrees out there? 100 degrees?
It wasn't too miserable today, honestly, I have to say.
What do you think, Natasha? 100 degrees out?
It's 100, yes. So, maybe 101.
So, Veronica, what's the weather out there in the Philippines at this time of the year? I want you to tell me, you know. And Al, tell me what's going on down in South Florida. And we'll get some, you know, get some weather reports from around the country. What's around the world, as a matter of fact? You know, if you're listening and you're somewhere in the world, you know, who's listening to me in Spain? What's happening over in Spain right now? Give me the weather report in Spain. Veronica, tell me what's going on in the Philippines, okay? And what about this Manny Pacquiao, huh? You like him? Are you a fan of Manny Pacquiao? He's got a fight coming up soon. And I know he's I think he's a congressman in the Philippines now. Yeah, he ran for Congress. I mean, he's involved, man. I mean, Manny's not just a great fighter. He's a man of and for the people. You know, he's a politician. So anyway, and he's a dancer too. He wanted to be on Dancing with the Stars. So anyway, my name is Mac Newton, and it's the Power Hour. I have got to stop drinking those Mac shakes before I come on this show, because bananas are real ripe, and I just get too fired up on all the sugar in that banana. You know, I want to talk to you guys a little bit about the 3-2 eating plan. I don't know if you know, but I have a 3-2 cookbook. Yep, a whole cookbook that was put together by myself and Rochelle Hall. Rochelle Hall was one of my clients who's a phenomenal cook. She lost some 30-plus pounds on the 3-2 eating plan, and she decided that she came to me with a plan of making a cookbook. And being a cook and understanding how the 3-2 works, she put together some fabulous, fabulous recipes for the 3-2 cookbook. It's called the 3-2 Gourmet. Go on my website, macnewton.com, and you'll see the 3-2 Gourmet. If you're interested in eating right, if you're interested in getting healthy and having all the energy you want, you need to try this cookbook. So let me just share this part of the show. I don't want to make this like a commercial, but I just want to tell you about the 3-2 eating plans, because so many of you have questions. I've gotten emails just recently, people asking me about, well, is it okay for people with diabetes? I'm pregnant. Can I eat the 3-2? And you know what? The answers to all of those questions are right here in the cookbook. So this is what I had to say about it. If you really like food and you want to feel great and look even better, the 3-2 plan is for you. It's not a diet. It's an eating plan. It was developed out of my need for more energy. And the surprising byproduct of getting more energy is weight loss and weight control over the long term. And because my plan is not a diet, as long as you remember the 3-2 philosophy and mix it with a little light to moderate exercise, you can satisfy all of your gourmet tastes and never feel denied, never feel deprived, or never feel hungry again. Because the philosophy is simple. The more you eat, the more you lose. 3-2 is easy to remember. There are three things you can eat. Fresh meat, you know, beef, pork, lamb, poultry, and fish. That's either baked, broiled, you know, boiled, barbecued. I can't imagine boiled meat, but what the heck? I'm sure it's done. You gotta take it. Boiled chicken. I mean, gee whiz. Natasha's making a face. You like boiled chicken, Natasha?
I don't like boiled meat at all, but there is lots of people who like that.
Don't they have boiled meat in Russia and then do that?
Yes, they like to boil chicken. Chicken legs, chicken thighs, they boil. Or the whole chicken could be boiled. And I know my brother likes boiled meat.
How do they season that?
They put some spices once it's getting prepared.
Mm-hmm. Salt?
Salt too, lots of salt.
Yeah. Salt's the great flavor.
Russian loves salt, that's for sure. They'll pickle anything.
Well, anyway, as I was saying, boiled, broiled, or barbecued, green vegetables and fresh fruit. And two things you can drink, 120 ounces of fresh, clean water every day, not carbonated or flavored, and real, fresh fruit juice, not fruit drinks. Start your day every day with my Mac Shake, which is simple. The recipe is 16 ounces of orange juice, one whole banana, and for you guys, peel the banana first, half an apple, half an apple, and half a pear. Zach, that's a funny story. You know, one of the things I like to recommend people with the Mac Shake is sometimes I like them to freeze the banana. And this one, I got an email from this one guy writing in from somewhere, and he said, you know, once you freeze that banana, boy, you have a heck of a time getting the peel off of it. I thought, no way. You really peeled it without, I mean, you froze it without peeling it? You never have to tell the women that. They just seem to know that. So ladies, right on. Fellas, what are you thinking about? What's up with that? That's one of those things that make you go, what? Okay. Anyway, like I said, start your day with the Mac Shake, okay? And that accounts for 80% of your fruit for the day, okay? And then after that, not too much. Then you can indulge yourself with as much food on the plan as you like. And remember, it's not how much or when you eat. It's always about what you eat. I do have a short list of do not eat things, but it's really common sense. I mean, don't eat salt, sugar, white flour, bread, including croutons, crackers, cake, pasta, potatoes, rice, creamy dressings, dairy, alcohol, soda, and I have to add energy drinks, coffee or tea. That's it. Short list. And no more fruit than the amount allowed, okay? That's about it. So, here's a question. Does it really work? You betcha. You betcha. Ask the hundreds of people in all the age groups who live healthier because of my 3-2 eating plan. They're not eating just to lose weight. They're eating to get healthy. The more you eat, the more you lose. Okay? All right. Now, remember, these recipes are all by Rochelle Hall, which I tested out and sampled them all and approved them all for this eating plan. And she lost more than 30 pounds on the 3-2 eating plan. So she's not making a plan, making these recipes based on something that she just thinks about. She's a veteran, an experienced veteran. Let me give you one recipe. Okay, you can stop me when you find the one. Okay, Zach, I'm going to go through and you tell me. How about chorizo? That's right, we have chorizo. You know, a Mexican-style chorizo in here. All right? And we've got Moroccan kebabs. If you hear something you really want to hear a recipe for, just stop me. How about a stuffed papaya? We got that there, too. The smoky pork ribs. Not the Mac Daddy ribs, but the smoky ribs.
A chorizo wouldn't be bad, but I know there's probably so many choices. Well, I don't know if there's anything with catfish in there.
Well, I do have catfish, but it's not in this one. But we do have catfish. Zucchini noodles. Can you believe that? That's awesome. Zucchini noodles. What we call the perfect sausage. Yeah, sausage. 3-2 sausage. The shrimp bisque. The Peking chicken with a Mongolian spark. Stuffed green peppers. Eye of round steak. Oh, my gosh. The taco salad. Delicious. Stop me before I hurt myself. Roast pork loin, stuffed pork chops, prime rib of beef, Spanish paella, chicken drumettes, summer salmon, chicken curry. Could keep going on and on. But you like the idea of the almost the first one, huh?
Well, you know, here we are in Arizona. Our other, you know, listeners worldwide, maybe they don't get it as often. I'm a big fan, so.
So let's go with the chorizo, okay? The distinctive Mexican-style chorizo. Here's the story. All right. Basically, what we're talking about, it's Mexican chorizo is a spicy pork patty. It adds great flavor to a variety of dishes, okay? In this case, peppers and onions. You know, chipotle, chili powder is going to give it a very distinctive character. Now, what you need to make this work is a pound of pork, ground pork, a half a teaspoon of onion powder, 2 teaspoons of cumin, 2 teaspoons of paprika, 2 teaspoons of chipotle chili powder, a half a teaspoon of cayenne pepper, and 1 teaspoon of vinegar, white vinegar. And peppers and onions, you need a tablespoon of olive oil, 2 bell peppers, and 1 onion. Thinly sliced. So you want to combine all these chorizo ingredients in a large bowl and thoroughly mix and disperse the spices throughout. Shape the mixture into patties and cook it with the thoroughly until it's thoroughly done in a lightly oiled skillet. If you like your chorizo on the hotter side, just add another half a teaspoon of cayenne pepper. Now you can enjoy them by themselves, or you can serve it with onion and bell peppers that have been sauteed in olive oil over medium heat for about 10 minutes, you know. So there you have it. You can also roll this chorizo into sausage shapes, you know, cook it thoroughly in a lightly oiled skillet, and then slice into 1-inch pieces before adding it to dishes like the Spanish paella I mentioned earlier. It's also served great with salsa. So there you go. It's on, let's see, it's on page 10 of the 3-2 Gourmet by Mac Newton and Rochelle Hall. So there you go, gang. There it is right there. All right? Now, we're going to move on to our short segment today. It is now already, wow, time's flying, Zach. Wow, it's 27 minutes past the hour here. And I think I took up all that time on my rant. Must have been. So anyway, if we go a little over, we'll pick it up on the other side. All right? You know, one of the things that bothers me, you know, in addition to people who talk on their handheld cell phones while they're driving their car, and talk on phones in restaurants or out in shopping malls too loudly, are critics. Critics. People who want to criticize you for going after your goals. People, when hearing that you are going to talk about opening your restaurant, about designing jewelry and selling it online, or forming a new band, or, like me, filming a whole new series of exercise programs and putting it on my website. Keep a lookout for that, gang. That's something that has bothered me, is why people try to stop you. I mean, people who seem to have nothing to offer but their critical opinion. I mean, before I get to my point, let me share something with you. It's a quote from our 26th president, Theodore Roosevelt. And it's taken from a speech he delivered in Paris, I think it was, somewhere in around 1910. He says, "It's not the critic that counts, not the person who points out how the strong man stumbled or where the doer of deeds could have done them better. The credit belongs to the man who is actually in the arena, whose face is marred by dust and sweat and blood, who strives valiantly, who errs and comes up short again and again, who knows the great enthusiasms, the great devotions, and spends himself in a worthy cause, who at best no achievement, and who at the worst, if he fails, at least fails while daring greatly, so that his place shall never be with those cold and timid souls who know neither victory nor defeat." And I agree. I'm amazed by the tendency of some people who want to criticize others who are making those efforts to improve their lives, and at the same time the lives of others, the ones who are in the arena, taking the chances, making investments of their time, energy, and money. It seems at every turn they're being criticized by those sitting on the sidelines watching and doing nothing, risking nothing. One of the unfortunate consequences of facing this constant criticism is that sometimes people allow the criticism to slowly begin to shape their lives. It's absorbed into their consciousness, you know, and over time, sometimes they start to act it out. I've noticed something, though, about myself over the years. The older I get, the less attention I pay to what people think and say, especially about me. I've reached a point where I couldn't care less about what people say about me. I notice what they do, how they live, but I pay very little attention to what they say. Some folks believe that the words that people say tell you who they are or who you are, but not me. I live by my great grandma's rule, and she said, "What you're doing is making so much noise, boy, I can't hear a word you're saying." And that pretty much sums it up. I still believe life validates words, not the other way around. Words are empty until they're battle-tested in the world of experience. And I have very little or no use at all for those who are going to withdraw from the real world and yet are going to attempt to issue instructions on how to live in it. Simply put, if you don't play the game, you don't know enough to make the rules. Got it? Strong words? Oh, yeah. But I feel very strongly about them. But yet, I still feel that the critic has the right to say whatever they want to say. But here's the key point. Not at the expense of anyone's dreams, not at the expense of your dreams, your desires, your visions for accomplishment. I think that even those so-called well-intended criticisms are couched in nothing more than petty jealousy and feelings of insecurity, fueled by your growth, fueled by the fact that you're moving out. In other words, it's the old crab leaping from the bucket mentality. And their message is clear. How dare you think you might move out? How dare you think you can move ahead? How dare you? I say let others say whatever they want to say, but don't take it to heart. And here's the way I deal with it. Unless the person knows me well, and I respect that person's opinion, it's completely meaningless to me either way. I take it the same way I take their praise. If they don't know me, it's meaningless. My driving force remains my dreams, my goals, my vision. I'm reminded of a poem that has saved my life quite a few times. It's simply entitled Boldness. It goes like this, gang. Until one is committed, there is hesitancy, the chance to draw back, perhaps always ineffectiveness. Concerning all acts of initiative and creativity, there is one elementary truth, and the ignorance of which can kill countless ideas and splendid plans, and that is that the moment one definitely commits oneself, then all of providence moves too. And you know what providence is, don't you? That's all of the heavens moves at the same time. All sorts of things occur to help you that would never otherwise have occurred. A whole stream of events issue from the decision that you made, raising in your favor all manner of unforeseen meetings, incidents, and even material assistance, which no person could have ever dreamt would have come your way. So said the philosopher Goethe, for whom I have a deep respect. He continues, whatever you can do or dream you can, begin it. But begin it boldly, because boldness has genius, power, and magic in it. I agree. These words have removed me from the influence of the critics and put me on the side of the angels, and it can do the same for you. Imagine this. You have a large bucket of crabs. One day, one of the crabs decide to make a leap for the lip of the bucket in an effort to escape. What did he now become? A traitor. He's decided to leave the others behind and get out. There's no greater offense to those left behind in the bucket, and so it is with us. So many of us have these little unspoken agreements with family members or friends that we'll all just stay right here where we are, being overweight, being underemployed, being uninspired, or whatever. Well, when one decides to open their own business, to sell their jewelry online, to start their own band, to develop their own series of workout videos, or to just lose their weight or get healthy or write a book, and then the critics show up and cut loose. Are you crazy? You'll fail. You'll lose your money. You'll waste your money. You'll waste your time. You know what they're really saying? They're saying you've become a traitor to the cause. They say you've changed. They don't even know who you are anymore. There's little question that today's conventional wisdom is different than in the day of Teddy Roosevelt. Today, the way to get along is to go along. And that's how most people handle it, you know, political correctness and all that. However, at this point, I'm not so sure that the values of my generation and in an earlier age at the time of Teddy Roosevelt just may have been the right stance to take. And to the critics who respond that they have all this knowledge and all this understanding of how they think things should work, I say to you, knowledge and understanding is not enough. One must also do. To gain from the world and not give back is one of the greatest tragedies of life. Great grandma would say shame on you, and she would sum it up by saying this: don't tell me what to do if you ain't doing nothing. That was a longer rant. The great Ella Fitzgerald, backed up by the Count Basie Orchestra. She hasn't said a word yet, Natasha. Does she have to, baby?
She doesn't have down to Duke's Place.
She doesn't have to.
Not at all.
We'll be right back. My name is Mac Duke. Zach Geist is behind the glass. The fabulous Natasha said it clearly. She doesn't have to. You're listening to the Power Hour. It is now 32 minutes past the hour. We'll be right back.
Sit down by the table. I want to hear Duke's
Hi gang, I'm Mac Newton. And as much as you enjoy listening to the Power Hour and the feeling you get, being shown the way, a way to get the most out of yourself, sometimes it boils down to just you and where you are. But no matter where you are, you're always going to have something that can go with you. www.macnewton.com. No matter where you are or where you may be, you'll be able to log on and work out with me, Mac Daddy. I mean, exactly the same workout that Aeneas Williams did, the same workout that Bo Jackson did, the same workout that Jay Novacek did, the same workout that Ricky Henderson did, the same workout that Dan O'Brien, the Olympian gold medalist, did. Yes, you, wherever you may be. www.macnewton.com, the home for champions, the home for winners, where you can read about success every day, no matter where you are, where you can work out and feel that you are on your path to accomplishing your goal. And let's say you don't want to be an Olympian, you're not interested in playing football. Well, what do you think a chief executive officer is but a top performing athlete? And you too need to be in the best shape of your life. There you have it. No matter who you are or where you are, www.macnewton.com is for you. Tune in today. I'm Mac Newton. Zach is 13 years old over there. He's just getting off on Elvis Gerald. Oh, man. Yeah. You're not tapping your foot right now. Something's wrong with you and there's nothing I can do for you. Okay? A little happy blues with Elvis Gerald here on the Power Hour with Mac Newton. Wow. That's awesome. You know, Natasha just reminded me, and I have to apologize and have to give her all the credit, that 2 weeks ago I started a topic and I was involved in simplifying your life. And you know what? For some reason, Zach, I thought that I'd finished that topic and I went on to other topics. This week I was going to talk about, do you have a guilty personality? It's written down right here. You see, do you have a guilty personality? Can you see that through the glass? See it? Okay. Now, but you know what? Natasha says, are you going to finish the R's?
Life.
Yeah, right. And I have to apologize for you. I'm sure if Natasha noticed that, then there are others wondering if I'm going to finish that as well. You see, I lost my mind for a moment. I was so busy ranting. Yes, I think we got started and we did three of them, didn't we? We did rethinking.
Reevaluating.
And?
Reinventing.
Very, very good. Okay, now, let's just sort of review a teeny bit in my mind about what we're talking about in terms of simplifying your life. What causes people a lot of stress is they feel overwhelmed by having too much to do and not enough time. It's like we've got more responsibilities than ever before. Swamped with jobs we need to get done. More books to read. You know, goals that we want to set. Goals that we want to accomplish. And we're caught up in a dilemma. You want to fulfill your potential. But you want to earn, you know, as much as you can in the shortest period of time. You want to have it all. You want far greater accomplishment on one hand, but more balance and simplicity on the other. You see, to me, I just don't want to double my income, Zach. I want to double my income and my time off. How do you do that? Well, we got to simplify our lives, first of all. We've got to simplify and figure out ways to where the results can go up and the amount of time will go down, the amount of time we spend. And that the space between those two, that's time off. Okay? So we've got to figure out ways in which we can make that happen. You see, people confuse high-performing people with high-stress people. People who are high accomplishment with high stress and working 80 hours a week. What's true in order to get your business going and to build your success? That there is a hard work factor involved. No question about it. And there's no doubt about it that the average self-made millionaire in America today works between 50 and 60 hours a week, sometimes more. And if you're only working 40 hours a week, that you're just not serious. However, we've got to continually look for ways to simplify our lives and simplify our work so we get more out of it to not allow us to double our income, but to double our time off. Does that make sense to you? Makes sense to me. So not only am I going to finish these four, but you've laid the groundwork for me, Natasha, for me to even talk more about doubling your income and doubling your time off. Okay. While mixing in, you know, in case you have a guilty personality, how to deal with that, okay? Now, our last one was to reinvent. Now, the first on our list of simplification was to rethink. I mean, whenever you find yourself overwhelmed, or you, with just too much to do in too little time, you got to stop back and ask this question. Could I do it a better way? Is there another way to do this? Especially when you face resistance, when you face stress of any kind, when you face difficulty, you got to stop pushing. Stop pushing. Stop driving. And you got to ask yourself the question, could there be a better way? You got to look at yourself as a consultant that you just hired to come into your business and put it on the fast track to success, to save it from bankruptcy. Okay? Now, when you do this, you're going to remain open-minded and you're going to consider the possibility that your current approach to your business and to your life has been wrong. You got to think, could there be a better way? So the first R of simplification is to rethink it. Let me rethink this project. Rethink it. Number two, reevaluate. Now that's different than just rethinking. Reevaluating is like when you get new information. You get new information, you're going to stop the clock like a football coach. Time out. Reevaluate the situation based upon the new information you have. I think, if I think back to that segment, I quoted Jack Welch. He was the former CEO and president of General Electric. And he wrote a little booklet called The Reality Principle. And in The Reality Principle, all it does is require that you be absolutely honest with yourself and deal with the situation based on the way it is today, right now, not the way you wish it were or the way it might have been in the past. And so Jack Welch begins every discussion or evaluation of a problem with this question. What's the reality here? And you should do this as well. Even in a court of law, Zach, a judge could have made a decision and passed it down and said, rendered a decision and said, this is the way it's going to be. However, the lawyer comes in at the last moment and says, Your Honor, new information. He's going to put that aside while this new information is to be considered. That's reevaluating. That's not rethinking. That's reevaluating. And that's the difference between the two. All right. The third one that I gave you was to reinvent. Now, sometimes when I've done this in seminar for companies, I might drop that down as far as number five or number six. But I want to bring it out earlier because, in fact, sometimes I even do it as number one, even before we rethink it. Because if you're not reinventing yourself every 6 to 12 months or so, you're just losing the boat because this is time of rapid change. Here's the deal, Zach. We've already gone through the industrial age. We've gone through the service age. We are now into the information age. Information is power. That's what was contained in those little phones that we've got, those iPhones and iPads and i-thises and i-thats. These little, the little square things that hold quantum amounts of information. In fact, I saw a television commercial just the other day where a mother was sitting at a table with her daughter, and they were discussing the mother's physical condition, and the mother said, well, the daughter asked her, why wasn't she feeling good? And mom said, well, I've got PAD. And the daughter going, what's that? And she's taking out her phone, and she touched a couple of keys, and she says, mother, that's peripheral artery disease. It's very serious. You need to do something about that. She had there in the palm of her hand information beyond imagination. She had more information in the palm of her hand than some doctors and technicians could even access as recently as 20 years ago. Information. We are now in the information age. That means that we are changing rapidly. We're changing rapidly. And if you're not reinventing yourself and your job every 6 to 12 months, then you're missing out on a big opportunity. You got to practice zero-based thinking. And we've gone over that many times. So that means you got to keep thinking continually. Ask yourself, if I were not doing this in this way, knowing what I now know, would I start it up again? In other words, if I were to ask myself about my business, Zach, if I would say, if I were starting up Newton Fitness, I mean, let me go back to the beginning. If I could go back to the beginning of Newton Fitness, based on what I now know, would I still start it up? Or what would I do differently? You see, there's two answers I want to get there. Would I still start it up? Yes. But if the answer is no, I should shut it down. The only question is when and how. If the answer is yes, and if I ask the second question, if I go back to the beginning when I started Newton Fitness, what would I do differently based on what I now know? Well, those are the things I need to do right now. You see what I mean? So many people have information about what they should be doing right now that, guess what, Zach? They're not using. That's the information you need to reinvent yourself. That's the information you use to reinvent. Imagine that you're starting your job or your career over again right now. Is there anything you would do more of or anything you do less of? Is there anything you could start doing that you're not doing right now? Is that there something you could stop doing altogether? And that's how people ask me, how do you come up with all these ideas, all the things you do? I ask myself that question. And then I act upon them. Is there anything I would do differently? Yes, then why don't you do it then? It's sitting there waiting for you. That, my young friend, is reinvention. You have now reinvented yourself. And you can do that in your relationships. You can do it in your job, your career, and you should be doing it. And here's another question that I ask myself all the time. What is my next career going to be? What is my next reinvention going to be? Wow. What would it be like if you don't ask and answer these questions for yourself? Someone else may come along and answer them for you. And they'll tell you what you'll be doing rather than you saying what you'll be doing. Okay. Let's go to number four. Natasha, did I give any new information about the first three?
Yeah. Yes, you did.
Okay, see, there, my review was good. And she would know because she takes notes right here.
Yes, yes, I got some new.
Yes. The third R is to reorganize. Reorganize. Reorganize your life or your work to make sure and ensure a greater level of output for the same quality and quantity of input. In other words, if you've got 100 widgets being made for 100 units of energy, you want to get to a point that where you're making 100 widgets for 50 units of energy. So you have to reorganize to where you've got the same unit of output for a smaller amount of input. And in times of rapid change and the turbulence that's caused by rapid change, you see, when you're standing still and the world is changing around you, there's turbulence that's built up. The only way you can not feel the turbulence is to be moving at the same pace. Okay? So, in this time, you must reorganize continually. As I heard said once by an executive in a high-tech firm, he said, in my business, you have to throw out all of your assumptions every month. Once a month, you got to redo it. Once a month. So be prepared to reorganize your workspace. Work off of a neat desk. Only have the thing you're working on your desk at that time. So reorganize it. As we talked about a couple weeks ago, clean off your clutter, clean out your closets, clean out your car. Okay? Be prepared to reorganize your schedule throughout the day. Be flexible on your schedule. Be prepared to reorganize the order and priority of your activities. Now, this is key, gang. You must be open to the possibility there's always a better way to do the job than what you're currently doing. And always keep looking for a better way. Always keep looking for a better way. That's number four. Number five. Now, this is a key one. Restructure it. What I mean by that is you want to put more of your time and your energy and your resources into the 20% of the things you do that generate 80% of your results and profits. Did you know, Zach, that if you can measure it at home, I'd be willing to bet you right now that if you go home and you measure all your square footage that there's carpeting on, and you measure all the parts that you actually walk on, that'll only be 20% of your carpet. 20% of your carpet gets 80% of the wear. And the other 80% only gets 20% of the wear, if that. That equation holds true in everything. If you have a company, 20% of the people do 80% of the work. You got to find out who they are and pay them more and retrain the others. In your work, 20% of your activity is generating 80% of your results. What I want you to do is you to restructure so you're spending more of your time and more of your energy into that 20% that's generating the 80%. And less time in the 80% that only gives you the 20%. Okay? Companies and people restructure by focusing more of their resources on the products, services, and activities that the customers value, the things that are important to them, that they value the most. Simultaneously, they're going to delegate outsource, and even eliminate activities that the customers don't care about. So that 80% that only generates 20% has got to be reinvented. Has got to be rethought about how we use that time. See, because that, see, all that time is what we're spending. But people spend a lot of time on the other 80%. Remember I told you we're going to get into how to double your income and double your time off? I'm giving you a heads up on it right now. When you restructure your own activities, you continually focus and refocus your time and energy on the few things you do that account for most of your results. Concentrate single-mindedly on that. I only do things, personally, I only do the things in this company that only I can do. Anything that someone else can do here, it's not a good use of my time. It's not a good use of my time. Am I making sense to you? Does this make sense here? I can see your eyes lighting up over there now. I can see what's going on. Now, one more. Hopefully we'll have time for both more. Okay, we got about 5 minutes left. Thank you, Zach. Appreciate that. Okay, number five, re-engineer. And this is one of the most powerful practices for simplifying your work, is to re-engineer it, especially your personal life. When you re-engineer it, your whole focus is based upon improvement. And you're constantly looking for newer, better, faster, easier ways to get the job done. Faster, easier ways. That's what you do here every week, Zach. You're looking for a faster, easier ways to engineer this show. And I want you to constantly look for that. In fact, just a couple weeks ago, I mentioned to you, no matter what it is, if something is going to make our job easier as we re-engineer it, buy it. You don't need to check with me. It'll be remember I gave you that instruction? We want to constantly re-engineer to simplify our process. So it'll be faster. And if it's faster, eventually it's going to be cheaper. So it'll be better. It'll be easier. You begin re-engineering your work by making a list of all the steps that you go through from start to finish. And then you set a goal to reduce the number of steps on the list by 20%. So if you've got 10 steps on your list of any jobs, your goal is to reduce, is to take two steps out of that the first time through. Figure out a way is to re-engineer it. Shift something over here, move something over there. So now you no longer have 10 steps. You have now 8 steps. You've made it easier, faster, simpler. So re-engineering is a cool thing. Let's re-engineer it. And there are several things, ways you can do that. You can combine several jobs into one. You know, you can give several jobs to one person. Instead of, let's say if we got 7 things to do and got 7 people doing one thing, I give all 7 things to you and now I give the other job, the other person, check everything. So I've taken 8 jobs to 2. I've re-engineered it, made it simpler. Those are a couple ways that you can re-engineer your life and your work, okay? And finally, our last one. I'm rolling here, man. I got this thing going. Regain control. When we are overwhelmed and we're completely don't have enough time, we're stressed out, we need to regain control. We've given control up to other sources, other people, other things, and we're being dictated to by the stuff we're trying to get done. So in this step, when you regain control, you make new decisions. You commit yourself to new actions. And here's the main thing. You accept full responsibility and you take charge of your life. You don't wait for things to happen. Regain control by accepting responsibility and not waiting for things to happen. Go out and make things happen. don't take charge of your life and take charge of your time. Okay? There you have it. Thank you, Natasha, for bringing me back online.
Thank you, for finishing it up.
So, now, in this whole process, determining your values is the first step to simplifying your life. To establish your values, ask yourself this question. What's important to you? What is important to you? What are the principles that you care about with regard to your personal life? Now, here are some examples. It could be peace. It could be spiritual satisfaction. It could be family. It could be contentment. It could be love, joy. You need to get, what are your values of life? And let those things drive you towards simplification. And as I said to you earlier, learn how to say no. Don't spend your time doing stuff that you said yes to that has no value in terms of you spending your time. You say no to get to yes. You're saying no to things that are not good for you until finally you can say yes to the activities that are important and to the things you really enjoy. Now, you know now, sooner or later, we are going to... Yeah, I hear that, gang. I hear it. We're going to get around to Do You Have a Guilty Personality? I don't know if it's going to be next week because Natasha's got me, I'm back on track. We either can go back to this next week or we'll talk more about doubling your income and doubling your time off. In fact, I might let Natasha think about that and tell me which one she wants to do, okay? All right, you're welcome. Hey, she's singing in English.
Oh, she's got words.
She's got words. Go ahead, Ella.
Talked about a mean woman.
Yeah.
Oh, what a woman was she. Talked about a mean
It's been a great
woman.
Show, gang. I told you, very informative. And we are flexible here. We had one topic set up. Natasha brought me back online. Thank you, darling. Dap me up. You got it, girl. My musical guest host, the fabulous, the terrific, the unbelievable Ella Fitzgerald. So good. And listen, gang, be true to yourselves by making sure your words and your actions match. I want you to be good to yourselves, too, especially good to those who are close to you. Smile more. When you walk past your loved one, touch their hair. Let your fingers rub across their shoulders. Let them know you're thinking about them all the time. They'll return the favor, make you feel great. Oh, my goodness. I was going crazy. As I always do, I want to say thanks to Bob Adlock. That's the man who helped me get the first Power Hour off the ground on TV with Cox 9. Pat McMahon, my mentor once and for all time. JC, my co-host on the original Power Hour, and my good friend up in San Fran. My main man in memoriam, John Booker. JB from Chicago. Zach, behind the glass. You the best, my man. And, of course, the fabulous Miss Natasha. The show is over. We are running overtime. The building is on fire. I got to get the hell out of here. My name is Mac Newton. This has been the Power Hour. 3, 2, 1. Peace. I am out.